Okay, good evening. It's good to see you here as we gather around the Word of God this evening. Okay, if you have your Bibles, please turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. And my desire tonight is to prepare our hearts a little bit for the revival meetings next weekend. And the title of tonight's message is, Then the Fire Fell. And we're
going
to read from verse 21 of chapter 18. Down to verse 39. I'll have Brother Emmanuel do that for us, please. Okay, so from verse 21 to 39.
Elijah bar omanu yinara intem na osuon de. Whom Regina adjun ebien intem. Ma ekodu daben se urade nyi yankopo na ahum ntinachu se bel so a ono ahum ntinachu na omanu emboa no asembiara na Elijah se omanu de emi manko ara enyi urade ni konsenya waka na bel nkonsofoze woye mbarima ahanan edunum deminti ma woma yan woma yan anentwi ebien na ma won san mu nyi nentwi sa kor emma hono ho. Now one born approved. Now one far in go in another. Now one far ja in ma one far in ja in guasi. Now most of the best years in Chi Sacron, now me guinado. Now Mary far ja in guasi. Now more friend whom you are meaning. Now most of my best friend is rising. Now on your mirror, all the ja vegetin, one my honor in Yan Yankopan. Now a man in Arab who I said there, why can ye? Na Elijah see Baal in Koisafuni there, whom in San Mu in your name to Sakur in Mahmo, now whom in the can in Sesi, stand there, whom a dorsal, now whom in front of whom you are meaning, in whom Ma won fat Jack and Grassy, now what fun into Sana was it, Mahonin, there was a seal, now what fry Baal Nizin see Anapa Arako do with Naida, Baal, eh, say him, now in Zibi in New York. Na nya oje dubias nya oje dubias ihuho na ogruguru wi chin aforibucha no a waye no ho na oba de woji na yin Elijah see when I church today come fa indicate intim na oyanyame say origin ana we crazy ana we tikan ana ibia waada try there wonye no na wochi amkate na wode a second in a in Kaba, to Chan Hono, there in Brahman, in the Yatin, country there, but just Swan Hono. Now, over there, Abira, which Nay Chemun was share and come Arako do there, Oroko in Yu, Afarno, Babio, na in Zibiara in Yuho, Nanya, Ojibusu in Yuho, na Obiara Su in Yuha, Oshe, na Elijah say, Omani in our day, woman championing, na Omani in our championing. Na oje ewrade afremuchi a egugunu ye na Elijah pa abude gen jembe Jacob nemba ebusiaku no dedoti ono a ewrade na asamba ne chande Israel ni wuzinin na oje abunu si afremuchi a ewo ewrade ni dinum na otwa oka obeji aba wogu etwade ebien obeji aba wogu etwade ebien wo afremuchi a no hiei. Na osiesie yinan na otutwa ne nchisan epru na wadigu yinan noto na osede humu fansu inchese mbarba anan amama na wohwe ngu osuafa na yinan noto na osuo osede humu yanu mprenu na woyanu mprenu na osede humu yanu mprensa na woyanu mprensa na nsunu pem afarembuchia no hwie na odinsu hwie akanusu ma. Na obata eyimbiru afaro babiru mun nkonsenyi Elijah chepini ina osede ewrase Abraham Isaac na Israel yakopon inde de ma wonhu de oworo nyi yakopon wo Israel mu na emi nyi wakwa na maye nzema yi nyinara wo wasamdo same ewrase same ma omani ehude owara irazi inye nyankopon na owara adan won akuma asan abebio inye irazi nija juwi na obeso osuwa foran na nyinan na abun datin na otaferu insua owo okanumun na yakan ititemdu edosa akron osuna abira omani inara huni wazo wanenye mbutu butu fomu na wasige irazi onye nyankopon irazi onye nyankopon. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I want to ask you a question tonight at the start of the message. How many of you here would raise your hand and say, by God's grace, I want to see revival in my church? Praise the Lord. Well, we see here in 1 Kings chapter 18, a powerful demonstration of the power of God that turned the people of God back to him. We're
going
to pray and ask the Lord's help, and then we'll get further into the message.
Lord,
we pray. Dear Father, we thank you for tonight and for your goodness to us. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being here in the house of God. Lord, we thank you for the passage of Scripture before us, and we pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, how we need the fire of God, how we need your power to come down upon this message tonight. That the hearts of your people might be challenged. Lord, that we might be truly revived. Lord, that our hearts might be prepared for the meetings next week. So Lord, we ask for the ministry of the Holy Spirit tonight in both the preacher and in the hearer. And we commit this message now into your hands in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, no doubt many of you are familiar with this story in the Word of God about Elijah and his confrontation with the prophets of Baal. And at this time, the people of Israel had become entangled with idolatry. They had turned away from the worship of the one true God. And Elijah was used of God to challenge the people of God, and God sent fire in response to Elijah's prayer, and there was a great turning back to God of the people. That's revival. When God's people turn back to God. Elijah was really the prophet of fire. Fire is associated with the ministry of Elijah on more than one occasion in the Bible. Now understanding the word of God, that fire was a symbol of the presence of God in the midst of his people. You remember in Exodus chapter 13 how that the Bible says that God led his people by night in a pillar of fire. There were other times when God sent fire from heaven in the national life of the children of Israel. Now understand tonight, when we talk about the fire of God, we are not talking about some man-made wildfire.
na ta ya kanya kuko ni ja ya kada nipa na waso jebi ima wato kon.
There's a lot of manufactured fire at the moment going on. There's a lot of talk about the fire of God, that is strange fire. It's not truly heaven sent, it's man made.
Na kwafu ka ijebe bre no wata ma I de mi je offering yakupa na oya ijebi anu oya na na bin ima yakupa.
So when we talk about the fire of God coming down, we're not talking about people talking in tongues and falling on the floor and rolling all over the place. We're talking about God doing a spiritual work in His people to turn them back to Him. When there's genuine revival, God's people get right with God. Any revival that involves worldliness and sinfulness is not revival. Now I want you to notice particularly in verse 38 that, it's, that we have this phrase, then the fire of the Lord fell. So there was a mighty demonstration of the power of God. But tonight I want to look at the three steps that Elijah took that led to this powerful manifestation of God's power. Firstly, I want you to notice tonight in verse 21 to 28 that Elijah confronted the error in the people. Look in verse 21 to 24 at his contending with the people. Elijah contended with the people about their spiritual condition. Look at verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. The word halt here means to halt or to live. And the people of God were being double-minded. They did not want to completely turn their back on God, but neither did they want to put away their idol worship. They wanted to live a double life. They wanted to mix the worship of the one true God with the worship of Baal that came with all sorts of wickedness and evil. And that is exactly what many Christians do today. They have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. Sure, they don't want to turn their backs on the Lord Jesus Christ, but nor do they want to turn, but at the same time they want to maintain their sinful practices. So here Elijah confronts the people of God and he calls on them to stop sitting on the fence, to stop standing in the middle of the road and to make a decision for or against the Lord. And if we're going to see the fire of God, if we're going to see revival in our church, we're going to have to make a decision either to serve the Lord or to not serve the Lord. You can't have it both ways. So long as God's people are double-minded and are living two lives, God cannot send a reviving work.
Now,
You cannot have the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ mixed with paganism. You cannot have the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ and still hold on to superstitious practices. You can't come and pray to the Lord Jesus on Sunday and then go and visit the witch doctor on Monday. The call of the Word of God for you tonight is, choose you this day whom you will serve. In Joshua 24 verse 15, Joshua gave this challenge to the people of God. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood. Or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. And Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And would to God there would be some people in Living Word Baptist Church tonight who would say, by God's grace, I'm not going to be half for God, I'm going to be 100% for God. I'm not going to be a lukewarm Christian. Jesus said, rebuked the church of Laodicea in Revelation 3, and he said, I will spew you out of my mouth. I hate this lukewarmness, this middle of the road position. And so Elijah confronted the error in the people. He challenged the fact that they were double-minded. But he also challenged their idolatry. And he devised a test. And this test would be between Baal and Jehovah, the one true God. The God that would answer by fire, he would be the true God. Now this is significant because understand that Baal, the false god Baal, was supposed to be the god of storms. So Elijah is taking a challenge right to the heart of the false claims of Baal worship. And that's what we need to do. We need to take the truth of God's word and issue a challenge to the false claims of false religion. So Elijah contended with the people. And God is confronting us tonight about the same sin. Some of you come to church and you sing the hymns like you did just before. But yesterday you were living a different life. And God's call to you tonight is, choose you this day whom you will serve. God wants our all. Listen, Jesus Christ said you can't serve two masters. He wants to be Lord of all of our lives. He wants 100%.
Yankopon
All to Jesus I surrender, we sing. All to Him I freely give. Listen to me, young people, tonight. Don't give God 20% of your life. Don't give God half of your life. Give God all of your life. Be sold out for Jesus. And the reason why there's so little revival today in our churches is because God's people are living two lives. You can't have the one true God and keep your idols. You can't worship the Lord Jesus Christ and still give respect to the pagan deities of Ghana. You can't worship the Lord Jesus Christ and still go to Orange Friday. How about instead of having Orange Friday, have Bible Friday? Have Walk with God Friday. Have Pray Friday. Don't be a part of a celebration of paganism and demonism. And so Elijah challenged the people of God. How long are you going to halt between two opinions? You see, the people of God were indecisive and they were being called to make a decision. And God's calling you to make a decision tonight.
Now Elijah and Oratu are talking about him there.
Are you going to be lukewarm or are you going to be on fire? Are you going to be half-hearted or are you going to be all for Jesus? And so he contended with the people. But then he contended with the false prophets as well. And you can read that in verse 25 to verse 29. And you know the story, how that he allows that they build an altar and they begin to pray to their God. And they pray from the morning until the noon. And this would be approximately 6 hours. And they pray one thing over and over again. O Baal, hear us. O Baal, hear us. Can you imagine that for about 6 hours? O Baal, hear us. This is a feature of heathen praying. When you have people who say hallelujah over and over again for 3 hours in a row, that's pagan praying. That's not Christian praying. We do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. This is a feature of the heathen. What a contrast to Elijah's prayer that comes later. Just a simple prayer that reached heaven and moved the hand of God. We do not have to try and repeat ourselves and repeat ourselves as if we're trying to force God to do something. We need to simply come to God with a heart full of faith and pray, and God will answer. But this praying was powerless. The Bible says in verse 26, but there was no voice nor any that answered.
Sorry, that was verse 29.
They cried aloud, they cut themselves. Isn't it interesting how that this, whenever there's demon worship, whenever there's worship of idols, there's often the damaging of the human body. I don't know what's happening here in Ghana, but in Australia there is some young people now who cut themselves. And they think that somehow by that they are being empowered. But damaging your body is satanic. And you know that when people come under the control of Satan, they begin to damage their bodies. And so Elijah challenged not only the people in general, but he challenged those false prophets that were leading God's people
astray.
So the first step towards the fire of God falling was, number one, his confrontation of
error.
But the second step he took tonight was the restoration of the altar. Verse 30, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah, verse 31, took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name.
Now Elijah see Omani Narada. See Omani Narada, whom entering pinning. Na Omani Nara Chipinin, na Oye, Eradi Aperbutia, Ebubuniye, na Elijah Fa, Abude, Bendem, Jacob, Nemba, Ebusioku, Ebusiokuno, the Dotsi, Ona, Eradina, Samba, Nichande, Israel, Uzino.
And like Elijah of old, if we want to see the fire of God fall, if we want to see the power of God come and work in revival, we need to start repairing some altars in our lives.
Now today, my Elijah, yes, I have been intending to go on the open in Abraham. No, after we see a way, we want in Abraham. No, or they are saying, yeah.
You see, the altar in the Old Testament was a symbol of fellowship with God.
Now, whatever I send that on my after we see a chair,
this is where the people of God would come and offer sacrifices. And they would pray to God. Abraham's an example of this in the book of Genesis, where it says he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord.
Now, was Abraham in fact a woman? Now, you have for Genesis book, Abraham was see a Philippia, not afraid of opponizing.
And so this altar had been broken down.
Now, in Adam, a Philippia, we have a book.
And this was due to two things.
Now, since it be anything, I didn't have a book.
Firstly, God's people had neglected the altar. But if you go over to chapter 19 and verse 10, you'll find that it was more than that. They had actually torn down the altar. And what this tells us is that compromise is not a passive thing. When you allow ungodliness into your life, you will have to tear down other godly things in your life to make room for that sin. But if we're going to see revival in our church, we're going to need to start repairing this altar, the altar of fellowship with God, the altar of prayer. You know why there's so little revival in our churches? Because the altar of prayer has been broken. Where are the praying Christians? Where are the families that will pray? Where are the praying churches? This altar is a picture of communion with God. And if we're going to see God move, and if we're going to see revival, we're going to have to get back to the altar of fellowship with God, calling on the name of the Lord, seeking Him. If you study the revivals of history, you will find that they were connected with prayer. Much prayer, much power, little prayer, little power. And the reason why we don't have the power of God being manifest in our churches is because by and large our churches are prayerless churches. You don't come to prayer meetings. You'd rather stay home and watch some program on television than come and pray in the house of God. And then you complain that there's no fire and there's no power in the church. Imagine the power your pastor would have to preach if God's people really prayed for their pastor. Imagine the reviving work that God would do if God's people prayed for their pastor more than they criticized him. And so there needs to be the restoration of the altar. And so this altar spoke or was a picture of fellowship with God. But it was also a picture of fellowship with God's people, fellowship with one another. Look at verse 31. It says, "And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name." How many stones did Elijah select for the altar? Somebody? 12. Why 12? The 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now understand that at this time, the nation of Israel is divided. You have the 10 northern tribes that claimed to be Israel, but they were divided from Judah because they had gone into idolatry. So these 12 stones that Elijah put on the altar was really a rebuke about the division amongst the people of God. And may I say tonight that if we're going to see revival in our church, there needs to firstly be a restoration of the altar of fellowship with God, but secondly, there needs to be a repairing of the relationships amongst God's people. When God's people are full of disunity and carnality, God's power is limited in the church. Now understand tonight, I'm not talking about a unity that's often discussed out there, which is one of compromise. But I'm talking about a unity that's based on the truth of God's word.
And there's nothing wrong with separating from those who are tangled up in error. But that's entirely different to you having a bad attitude to your brother or sister across the aisle. That's quite different to you harboring a spirit of jealousy about someone's position in the church. How can there be revival? How can God move mightily in our midst when we're sitting there and we're jealous about one another's position in the church? And that's the problem we have tonight, is the churches are very often disunified. Remember in the book of Acts that God's power came upon a unified church. They're in one accord in one place. And God's power came upon them. And one thing we need to come to terms with tonight is that when God's people are fighting with one another and carnal with one another and jealous of one another, that is a limit upon that, that restrains the hands of God of working in the church. May I say, if you're sitting in the pew and you're holding a bad attitude towards the pastor, that is having an effect on how much the Spirit of God can move in the church. Sometimes we think we need God's power so that we will all be unified. But in the book of Acts, the church of God was unified, then God's power came. And may I say, I have personally experienced, and my dad has been in the ministry for many years, will testify to this as well, that when God's people have a spirit of disunity in the church, very often the church goes dead. And if we're serious about revival tonight, that means you're going to have to repent of that jealous spirit you have to that brother in the church, and you think that somehow he's got some position that you don't have. May I say tonight that it's nothing to do with position in the church. Get that out of your mind. You say, oh, that guy, he's a big man in the church. There's no big men in the church. There's a great God, and we're all small people. We're just little people that God uses.
Amen.
And it's not about you, it's not about me, and it's not about position, that's carnality. But when there's scrapping and fighting amongst the people of God and carnality about who gets to play the music, who gets to sing, who gets to song lead, who gets to preach, how can God bless? There needs to be the repairing of the altar of fellowship. Firstly, fellowship with God, prayer, restoration of prayer. But then we see the picture of the 12 stones there in disrepair coming back together. There needs to be a repairing of the fellowship amongst God's people before God's power will come. You know, there's a story about a young pastor who was saved during a time of revival in America during the Second Great Awakening. And he desired that they would experience revival in their church, so he led the church to pray for revival. And this church prayed 6 months for revival. No revival came. They were having whole days of fasting and prayer. But no revival came. Until one day they came together for another season of prayer. And finally one of the deacons stood up. And he said, "Pastor, we can keep praying for revival." But he said, "But no revival is going to come. Because I have bitterness in my heart towards that other deacon over there." And he went across the room and he said, "Brother, I've been bitter against you. I've been saying things behind your back. Would you forgive me?" And then all of a sudden a lady stood up and went across the room to another lady and made something right. And very soon people started to get up all across the room and began to make wrongs right. They began to repent of their gossiping and of their bitterness and of their anger one towards another. And revival came. They had no prayer meeting that day, but they got right with God and they got right with one another. Listen, if you're going to see the fire of God in this church, you're going to have to get right with one another. Most of you at the start of the service, when I said, "Who wants to see revival?" you raised your hand. And I think we all want to see revival. But sometimes I don't think we realize that we're going to have to really do business with God and business with one another. Who in this church is going to make something right with another brother or sister? Where's that brother who's going to come to another brother and say, "Brother, I've had a bad spirit towards you. I've had a spirit of jealousy towards you in the church. Would you forgive me?" Where's the Christian who's going to come to the pastor and say, "Pastor, I've had a bad attitude when you were preaching the word of God and I've resisted the word of God, forgive me"? Imagine the fire of God that could fall on this church if you got serious about repairing the altar. Oh, we want revival, but we don't want to pay the price. But 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people which are called by my name shall," what's the first thing? "Humble themselves." Humble themselves. Humble themselves. Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Listen, that verse tells us that revival is something that God is willing to give if we will do our part and humble ourselves. But so long as you remain stubborn in your pride, don't expect the fire of God to fall next weekend. You've got to humble yourself. Humble yourself about your prayerlessness. Humble yourselves about your compromise and sin. Humble yourselves to one another. Who's going to be first? Who is going to take the step tonight at the end of this service and go to the brother or sister and in humility say, I have been wrong. Who's going to be first? You say, Pastor, I would never do that. They don't expect the fire of God to fall.
No.
Don't expect revival. Don't expect the power of God. And so before the fire came, firstly there was the confrontation of error. Secondly, the restoration of the altar. And now number three, there was supplication to
Jehovah.
Look at the prayer of Elijah in verse 36 through 39. This prayer that brought the fire of God down from heaven. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word.
The Obadiah in Bure Afaru Pabirumunu, in Koysayin Elijah, Chimpinin, or Sede Erazi, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, Yakupon. In the day, Mawanguda, our union, Yakupon, were Israel, the Emini, Wakua, the Maya, and Zemayin, were Wasamadu.
Verse 37, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again.
Same, Erazi. Saying, now Omani, Omani, and with their Owara, a Razin Yakupan, the Owara Adan Wanakuma, Asan Abbeviu.
Can you see a difference between Elijah's prayer and the prayer of the prophets of Baal?
And in whom, since you are order Elijah, no five more, you bail because of one five woman.
And though this prayer was short, God moved mightily in response to Elijah's prayer. I want you to notice three things about this prayer. Look at the focus of the prayer. Right at the heart of this prayer is a desire in the heart of Elijah for the glory of God. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. Can you see here that Elijah is motivated for the glory of God? He wants God's name to be known. He's not asking for revival so he can be a superstar. He's not putting his face on a big banner saying, come for a week of revival with me. And you know, there are many people out there in the Christian world tonight that are interested in revival, but they don't see genuine revival because it's all about them. It's all about them being exalted. Some preachers pray for revival but see no revival because it's underneath the motivation is they want to be a great preacher. But God will not give His glory to another. Revival is not about exalting our church. Revival is not about exalting me. Elijah's prayer brought the power of God because Elijah was consumed not with himself, he was consumed with the glory of God. And is that not why we desire revival in this church? Because this place needs to know that there is a God. Do we not want to see revival? Because this city full of confusion and full of religion needs to know that there is the truth. This is powerful praying when we align ourselves with God's desire. You see, God's desire is that His name be made known. Many times in the Bible we have this phrase, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. God's desire is that His name be made known. And when we align our prayers with the heart of God, we are on strong praying ground. So this was the focus of his prayer, the glory of God. That this people may know that thou art the Lord God. But there was another part to the focus of this prayer. Not only was the focus of the prayer upon the exaltation of God, but it was also for the revival of God's people. Look at verse 37, at the last part of the verse, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Is that not the language of revival? When the hearts of God's people are being turned back to God. We need to pray for the reviving of God's people. Did you know that revival first and foremost has to do with with those who are saved, not the lost? You can't revive something that's dead. The lost are dead. They can't be revived. They need conversion, not revival. But revival means that there's life, but that life has dwindled, the fire has burned low, and it needs to be rekindled, it needs to be refreshed. That's revival in the hearts of God's people. And the salvation of souls is really the fruit of revival. When God's people get right with God, then the souls begin to be saved.
So when you're in Kenya,
Because the unsaved begin to see something real. Our people need to see something real in our lives. They have so much fake Christianity around them. But if this church would really get on fire for God and stop living a sinful life and a wicked life and a compromised life, imagine the impact that would have on souls and how people would be saved. So this was the focus of Elijah's prayer. The glory of God. The revival of God's people. But then notice the force or the power of his prayer. The Bible says in verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell. And consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench.
And
when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God.
And
Elijah's prayer had power. There was power. There was some force in his prayer. God answered. Listen tonight. God will answer the heart cry of his people for revival if they truly mean it. The third thing I want you to think about in relation to this prayer was the fervency of this
prayer.
In James chapter 5, verse 16 through 18, Elijah is held up as an example of a man who prayed effectually.
Elijah was
Look in verse 16,
it
says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. And note this particularly, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Now, yes, ye want to come there, as the demonstrate, Omaka, one interest of Mohun, now in Yaja, a sorry Mohun.
Verse 17, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he noticed this. He prayed earnestly. Say that with me on the count of two, please. One, two. He prayed earnestly.
Elijah,
And so the Bible gives us a wonderful promise here that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man will avail much. And Elijah is then held up as an example of a man who prayed fervently, a man who prayed earnestly. To pray fervently is to pray from the heart. We're not talking about this emotional hype necessarily of people yelling and screaming and all of those sorts of things, but we're talking about prayer that comes from a heart that's on fire, a prayer from the heart. You mean it with all of your heart. And yes, there may even be tears. But we're not talking about a shallow surface emotionalism and hype and foolishness. We're talking about real praying from the heart. I wonder if there would be some people tonight who would, at the end of the service, come forward and kneel and pray from the heart. Lord, we need you to move in this church. We need you to do something. Lord, our young people need a special touch. They're being faced with challenges like we've never seen. God, would you do something in our midst? God will answer that sort of prayer. Let's bow for prayer, please. At the start of the message, I asked you to raise your hand if you wanted to see revival. Most of you raise your hand. The question is now, are you going to pay the price? Will you come? Would there be any here tonight who would say, Pastor, there's some things the Lord has spoken to my heart about. There's been some things in my heart towards a brother or sister, and by God's grace, I'm going to make it right. Would you raise your hand quietly and Pastor,
pray for me?
Who's gonna get things right?
And I wanna know why a crowd is always this.
Amen. God bless you.
Anybody
else? Pastor, the Lord has spoken to my heart about some things I need to put right. Maybe it's putting something right with the Lord. Maybe you would just come tonight and say, Lord, would you come and pray, Lord, send us revival, send the fire.
Amen.
Or maybe you'd like to kneel at your seat. Who's
going to
come? We will not see revival unless we're willing to humble ourselves. Who's going to humble themselves tonight? Who's going to commit in their hearts before the Lord? Lord, by your grace, I'm going to make some things right with my brothers and sisters after the service. As long as we hold on to pride, there will not be any revival. Maybe that's why you won't come forward, because of pride. Maybe that's why you won't kneel down, because of pride. When you raise your hand saying you wanted to see revival, were you lying or were you telling the truth? If you meant it, why aren't you on your knees? It's time to do business with God.